Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Live.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Not only did we get a great phone call from Tim and Savage, but earlier this morning we had a message on our Montana Talks app from Tim and Savage as well. The party of democracy has deemed Kamala to be their nominee, but can anyone tell us how many voters have put a mark by her name selecting her? It is exactly zero. A listener in Billings sent us a message after his phone call as well, says, Tim and Savage had it right. All of our government officials should have to go through a year-long poverty course so they know what us normies are going through. Maybe then they'll know the cost of a gallon of milk. Great to have Evelyn Pyburn with us here from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, I don't know if you caught that last one of the last phone calls there from Tim and Savage, but you know, Chuck Schumer is calling J.D. Vance weird, but you know, us normal people, we are weird to the people back in Washington D.C. You know, because they don't have to suffer under the inflation we got to suffer under. And hell, Chuck Schumer doesn't even know how to grill a burger on the grill.
Yeah, well, I was just having this discussion yesterday that there are a lot more weird people than I grew up thinking. I guess I was more positive about the nature of human beings, but I've conceded now that there are far more weird people out there. So I guess it's okay to have somebody who's weird representing us.
Yeah. Aren't these the people that have Keep Missoula Weird bumper stickers and Keep Austin, Texas Weird bumper stickers? And But that's their attack against everyday normal people who, you know, who have overcome poverty. And anyway, it's a great American success story, frankly.
Yep, I guess so. It's disappointing to somebody who's optimistic about the world when you're young, though. I mean, I look at the numbers of people who endorse Joe Biden, and I'm just going, it can't possibly be that huge. You know, I mean, the weird things that he's done, you wouldn't think there would be so many people supporting that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We were at Tracy's restaurant in Great Falls doing a gift card giveaway Sunday brunch thing, and these two ladies walked up, and I said, "Hey, here's a gift card for you, you know, and here's why we're doing this." And they're like, "Oh, well, what kind of a group is it that you're here with?" And I said, "Well, they want, you know, they support economic freedom. They want you to keep more of your own money in your pocket." And the lady says, "Oh, so it's a conservative or a right-leaning group?" And it's just funny. It's like, I told her, we want to keep more money in your pocket. And she's like, "Wow, I don't like that." Yeah. So it's just like, all right, hey, cool. You know, you do you. This is America. But, you know, it's just like, man, it's just so funny. It's just, it doesn't matter how bad the policies are on the other side. Some people are going to keep voting for their team no matter how bad it gets. All right, stand by. We'll talk with Evelyn Pyburn about the good news and more right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Late Texas Democratic Representative Sheila Jackson Lee died recently from pancreatic cancer. She served in Congress for nearly 30 years, and Jackson Lee was known for two things, being direct and, frankly, she was rough on congressional staff. Jackson Lee was the House sponsor of a 2021 resolution marking Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Jackson Lee was known as a demanding boss who churned through staff. She swatted away criticisms of her workplace environment as fueled by sexism and even racism. Quote, "I'm a tough lady, and I've been in the skin of a woman and an African-American, and I understand the injustices we have to live through," said Jackson Lee. Jackson Lee was raised in the Jamaica section of Queens in New York City. She went to Yale as soon as it admitted women in the early 70s. She settled in Houston and served as a city judge and later on the city council. She defeated Democratic Texas Representative Craig Washington in a 1994 primary. Sheila Jackson Lee was 74 years old. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see smoky, hazy sunshine, just a very slight chance for an isolated shower or thundershower late in the day for Billings. High temperatures reach in the upper 80s for Bozeman, but a high of 94 degrees for Billings. For tonight, a slight chance for a shower or storm in the evening, low 60s for Billings, mid-50s, though, for Bozeman. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Carroll.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Here's a headline for you. EV production among several U.S. auto manufacturers hits a speed bump. Electric vehicle production among several U.S. auto manufacturers hits a speed bump. That's what we're going to be talking about with Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio in about a half an hour. But first, we always like to start with the good news. What's the good news out there? We always like to start there with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. And we've got an easy candidate for good news today because it deals with Northwestern Energy's Yellowstone County Generating Station in Laurel, the new natural gas-fired power plant in Laurel. Evelyn, you got to take a tour, it sounds like.
I did. There was a small group of media people who were given a tour last Tuesday, and we were accompanied by Josh Fullman, the generating station's project manager, and he gave us a blow-by-blow account as we went from, you know, one room to another as to what all the all that was going on. It's a new $310 million generating station, which is comprised of 18, now this is, you got to remember this, reciprocating internal combustion engines. And those are essentially the same kinds of engines that run your automobile. And that's pretty much what the basis of the plant is. That's the extent of its technology, in that it's not new technology, according to Mr. Fullman. It's been used for many, many years by the Navy because they have to generate power on their ships, and this is how they've been doing it, in using these automobile engines. And that's where Mr. Fullman comes from. In the Navy, he learned how to operate these engines, and after he got out of the Navy, he discovered there's a whole industry here of helping companies put these systems in, and so that's what he does. And he said that this is a very good, very clean plant, and it's one of the cleanest facilities because it has a very low emissions profile, and that means its profile, the amount of emissions that it emits, are so low that they don't have to do, you know, daily or minute-by-minute reporting to EPA or anything. In fact, they only have to report on a yearly basis as to their readings, and they have monitors that constantly read the emissions, and if it ever reaches some unacceptable level, they automatically kick off the machines.
That's very interesting. Well, that explains why all the environmental groups are trying to block it. You know, it's so clean, so good, and those environmental groups can't have that, of course, with a heavy dose of sarcasm here.
Yeah, well, and I think it's important to note that this plant will go a long ways to meeting the power that Northwestern Energy needs in order to really be able to fully meet the needs of their customers. the CEO, Brian Bird, in a recent interview I had with him, said that the additional power is about half of what they need, and they'll get most of the rest of it next year when they take over the ownership of Colstrip Units 3 and 4. But they pushed really hard to get this plant completed because when they meet peak demands, they don't have enough energy to, you know, provide their customers with the power we need. So, like, when it's minus 20 degrees in January and everybody is using lots of energy, they have to go out in the market and buy it. And so I think it's been in the last, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years, I don't know how long, but they've been having to go out and spend, you know, like close to $5 million to just buy energy. So this helps meet that need and make power more dependable for us, for us all. And so that's one of the main reasons that they wanted this generating station up and operating, and it serves as backup when the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine and the alternative generating facilities don't work. And Mr. Fullman pointed out that on very cold winter days, it is usual that there is no wind. So
and sometimes no sun either. Yeah. And then, yeah, that was an interesting point you made, Evelyn, where the plant does not have to monitor for emissions because their emissions are, quote, far below the levels set to initiate controls. That's how low the emissions are on this deal, that you basically you can't even detect for it. And then what about noise? I mean, man, you think, what are these, 18 reciprocating internal combustion engines capable of generating a total of 175 megawatts. What's the noise like on one of those plants? Evelyn reports the noise level is about 65 decibels. About that of the noise level in a restaurant. So chew on that one for a few minutes here. We'll be back back to business here right after the break with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
Battleground state polls. We can't get enough. We just did new Fox News surveys in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, conducted after President Biden ended his reelection campaign and endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris. These give us an early read in some states that Biden won in 2020 by razor-thin margins. In April, he was tied or trailing former President Donald Trump in each state in head-to-head matchups. The new surveys also show Harris in tight races with Trump. The two candidates tie in Michigan and Pennsylvania. Trump is ahead by 1 percentage point in Wisconsin. What's at play is deep partisanship. Across the states, at least 93% of Democrats back Harris, and at least 92% of Republicans support Trump. One thing both sides agree on is Biden dropping out of the race. Majorities of Democrats, Republicans, and independents approve of his decision. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your poll.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
What are the consequences of no new farm bill? That's a question many are asking. And the farm bill is already a year late. The stakes are high and time is running out. The American Farm Bureau has released its market intel analysis of the consequences of not finishing the legislation and adding another extension of the 2018 farm bill this fall. While crop insurance is a permanent program, it does need improvements, farmers say, to make it more affordable. Plus, the fixed statutory reference prices that were set in 2014 don't account for unforeseen market forces like the exceptional inflation in recent years, the report adds. Also, by delaying the farm bill another year, Congress would be delaying help that could slow the consolidation rate of dairy farms. The report concluded, saying the bill also has a chance to increase funding and enhance U.S. food security as well. Last week, just under 200,000 head of cattle were marketed out of Billings, Montana on the Northern Livestock Video Auction sale. While things were very strong the first part of the week, prices a little bit weaker there on that last day of the sale. But as they are, prices still impressive. The 4.5 to 5 weight steers sold from $3.37 up to $3.84, with the 5 to 5.5 weights $3.01 to $3.70.
5.5 to 6 weights, 292 to 350, with the 6 to 6.5 weight steers priced at $2.84 up to $3.41. I'm Lee Nordblund.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Yeah, if you not only get the print edition, but if you get the hot sheet, that is an email newsletter that comes out every Sunday night / Monday morning, so you'll have some business news kicking off your work week. Great information. But, the gas plant, the natural gas-fired power plant in Laurel, now in operation. She got a tour last week. Evelyn, it was interesting. I wish I remember who told me this. I was at the Montana Chamber of Commerce Governor's Cup reception last Thursday in Kalispell, and I forget the woman that I was talking with, but she made a great point. It must have been, I can't remember who it was, but she made a great point. She said, what people don't realize, and this is to your point about the importance of natural gas, the importance of coal for backup, for not just, you know, electricity, but for reliable backup electricity when it comes to backing up wind and solar when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow. A lot of people don't get it. And so this lady summed it up the best. She says, when people think of like 200 megawatts on this plant compared to 200 megawatts of wind or solar, they're not the same. The way she described it is she said, okay, you can have 200 horsepower, you know, in an engine, or you can have 200 horses, and it's not the same thing, because those horses have to be rested. Those horses have to be fed. They have to be given water. And so, whereas your vehicle, you gas it up and go, right? And so I thought that was a really good explanation for why, you know, look, 175 megawatt natural gas plant is still much more reliable than 175 megawatt wind farm or solar farm.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the whole issue. And, you know, and I've asked, you know, well, what is the anti-fossil fuel people's answer to this? What do you, you know, how do you propose to meet this problem of not having consistent energy? And I've never heard an answer. I mean, maybe I just totally missed it, but, and I don't understand their lack of interest in that, because, you know, they're going to get coal just as much as you or I when there is no fuel. And I would think that would be of, you know, paramount concern. Mr. Bird, when I interviewed him, he pointed out that you don't tear down the bridge before the new one is completed, and that's what they're trying to do with all of this push behind alternative energy. You don't have a replacement technology that can produce as much as we need. So it's just puzzling what their solution to that dilemma is.
Yeah, exactly, especially, you know, when they oppose things like a natural gas power plant, when we reduced CO2 emissions because of natural gas, and yet that is what they claim is the big problem, is CO2 emissions, and yet here they are still opposing something like this. And by the way, the Democrat candidate for governor, Ryan Bussey, his kids are behind that held climate lawsuit, and those same kids that are behind that lawsuit have also filed a brief with the courts to try to stop this natural gas plant in Laurel. So I think it just exposes how radical left the Democrats are now, all the way up and down the ticket. It's not just Kamala Harris and her crazy policies. It's not just liberal Senator John Tester. It's their candidate for governor. It's their legislative candidates and more. And so the Democrat Party has just gone completely off the deep end. Let's see some other news that's out there. I know that the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at the University of Montana, they're doing their big mid-year economic updates. Let's see. Looks like tomorrow. Man, they got a busy day tomorrow. They're doing breakfast in Billings, lunch in Bozeman, and then appetizers in Butte from 4 to 5:30. They got a busy lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, they usually do go, you know, two or three of those events in a day. It really is amazing, but they're usually very much worthwhile and interesting. So I plan to be there, and I'm sure they will have interesting news to report.
Yeah, I was looking at a little write-up they have here. Looks like housing is going to be one of their big topics. Statewide housing prices today are 60% higher than the beginning of 2020. And then, of course, rent goes up as well. Median home prices in Bozeman now exceed prices in Seattle, approaching $1 million. And so, you know, again, very interesting here because, you know, Governor Gianforte and the Republican supermajority, along with some Democrats, they got some housing reform bills across the finish line. But, of course, our liberal courts put a block to that. They would rather continue the crisis than allow Republicans to deliver solutions to these crises. Let's see. You were telling me like some other stories in the news. If you can join us for a couple more minutes here, Evelyn. Apparently, the state of Montana is getting $50 million in grants for environmental projects. Now, I'm assuming this is coming from the feds, and they're going to try to get us to push some sort of crazy projects, but hopefully the state has the ability to steer these funds in the right direction.
Actually, yes. That's one of the first things. Well, you know, the report talked all about, you know, climate issues and everything, but when you look at what the state, they put out a plan called Montana Pollution Reduction Act, and what their projects are, there's 25 projects in it that this $50 million will pay for, and 2.5 million seedlings are planned to be planted for trees to replace the loss due to forest fires. They plan to reduce the tree density on 8,000 acres to mitigate wildfire risk, which I think in the past the environmentalists have opposed, which is one of the reasons, you know, forest management was not really done in a way that would prevent forest fires. And so it's one of the reasons we have such intense forest fires now. They have money to increase the canopy coverage, and I presume that means to plant more trees in 70 communities, which is, you know, meant to increase biodiversity and forest health. So I imagine most of the communities in Montana will have money to buy trees and put up in parks or whatever. I always find this really interesting. They're going to have a program to try to deal with the seams of coal in the Powder River Basin. And I know it's in more than just the Powder River Basin, where coal seams are constantly burning. And sometimes they are responsible for starting wildfires. And
that's right,
I know I've read about this as a problem back east, and they've had a lot of trouble getting these constantly burning coal seams, you know, to put them out. I don't think they've succeeded in most cases, but...
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You know, and that story there reminds me, could you imagine if we had a Democrat governor right now and they had $50 million to spend on, you know, environmental grants? They would be putting that to use to figure out ways to shut you down. Instead, this governor, you know, seems to be, you know, focused on, you know, forest health and things like that. Things that actually are good for the environment that the environmentalists themselves always oppose. Great insight and reporting as always. Evelyn Pyburn, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. Every Monday, back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Another interesting update here in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet comes from the Montana Farm Bureau. The Montana Farm Bureau is predicting severe losses for agriculture this year because of a grasshopper infestation in parts of the state, a majority of the state. Parts of eastern Montana are seeing 15 plus grasshoppers per square yard, and others report 50 hoppers or greater. That's according to the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. And they're also working to get increased funding of about $1.5 million to try to combat the situation. So, the threat of grasshoppers, crazy numbers there. And if you sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet, you'll have all this types of information at your fingertips, kicking off your work week every single week. Evelyn Pyburn, always appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. EVs hit a speed bump on the manufacturing end. Jeff Manasso joins us right after this. Apply.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We should have Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio joining us here any second right now on the program here. Electric vehicles, EV production among several U.S. auto manufacturers hits a speed bump. We'll get to Jeff Manasso here in just a second. You know, this is interesting. Last week we were talking with Dr. Dale Williams with Billings Last Diet. You know, we were talking food, nutrition, and more. And it was just kind of funny the way it worked out, because we were talking about Kamala Harris, about Vice President Kamala Harris and her campaign. That has put her as the most likely Democrat presidential candidate. And so it was just kind of funny while we had Dr. Dale Williams with us. You know, we were talking about dieting and sugar and carbs and everything. And I just kind of threw it out there. I said, this whole Kamala Harris thing, and maybe I heard Hannity mention something about it. Somebody mentioned something about a sugar rush, but it totally makes sense. I just threw it out there. I said, you know, Kamala Harris is going to get a baby bump. She's going to get a little short term sugar rush here, and then it's going to come down to, well, what is the meat of the campaign? And there's got to be some there. And really, when you break it down to it, she's getting a sugar rush because the fake news media is doing everything they can to prop her up and make her and try to, you know, recast her as some sort of a moderate, you know, just like the fake news coverage that they do on John Tester. Anyway, no joke, in Politico's playbook today, they call it a crucial 3 weeks for Kamala Harris. The sugar high is about to wear off. The sugar high is about to wear off. We'll talk more about that here in just a second. But first, we've got Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio now with us here. EV production among several U.S. auto manufacturers hits a speed bump. Jeff, how big of a speed bump? And thanks for being with us.
Well, we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's been ongoing for months, if not the last couple of years. Buick, the latest to delay the launch of its first electric vehicle, a version of the Chinese-made Electra E5. So at the moment, Buick doesn't sell EVs in the U.S. It's got three EVs for the Chinese market. And so it's scrapping plans for now. We're told by the company, by General Motors, that the U.S. has strict tariff on EVs imported from China, likely affected that plan. We'll see. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, more and more auto buyers are just staying with their option of choice. It's gas combustion engine vehicles that are proven and that are trusted. But over the past several years, most automakers have announced detailed plans to swap their entire lineups to electric vehicles, only to say, you know what, we're going to take these billions of dollars and invest them elsewhere. Many of them into hybrid vehicle production, because EVs just aren't selling. And the ones that are selling, the companies are eating tens of thousands of dollars in costs just to get those things out the door and rolling, because of the sheer amount of the dollars in investments that these companies have put into electric vehicles under the Biden administration's EV mandates. But Ford has also announced last week that it was scrapping EV investments at its Oakville Assembly Complex in Ontario, Canada. Instead, it's going to invest about $3 billion to build more trucks, specifically to add an annual capacity to build 100,000 diesel and gas-powered F-Series Super Duty trucks, the big ones. And there's a reason for it, because people are buying them.
Very interesting. Yes. You know, what a failure of the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration here. I mean, yeah, they, as you pointed out, they put these EV mandates out there. They basically killed union jobs by and wasted a whole bunch of money, basically incentivizing wealthy white folks to purchase electrical vehicles, and the rest of us had to pay to incentivize that. But then on top of that, they basically killed union jobs when these manufacturers shifted from, you know, traditional vehicles to more electric vehicles. And then all those vehicles basically got stuck sitting on car lots all across the country because people didn't want to buy them. And then now this speed bump.
Yeah, and those vehicles are still sitting on dealer lots across the country. You know, the incentives are out there for people to buy them. They're scrapping, they're dropping prices and allowing, you know, good financing deals just to get these things out the door. But bottom line is those who really want an electric vehicle basically already have them. According to Kelley Blue Book, EV sales accounted for approximately 8% of total new vehicle sales for the second quarter of this year, which was better than expected. But Tesla is still the dominant player, even though Tesla's had some issues as well. Tesla is the dominant player in the EV segment. Ford coming in second with the Mach-E and the F-150 Lightning. But, you know, you're starting to see good, like, big deals on EVs because it's just, you know, people don't trust them. People, they're not proven yet. They're costly to buy. They're costly to fix. It's not like, you know, when your battery clunks out on you, you can just run over to Walmart and buy a $125 battery. For EVs, it's going to cost you $10,000 to $20,000.
Yeah,
to replace those batteries.
That long-term replacement cost.
In terms of recycling and all that. But it's the infrastructure as well. There's nowhere to charge these things unless you have a home or a garage. You know, and this after the Biden administration shelled out billions and billions of dollars to roll out more charging infrastructure across the country over the last couple of years, and they only came up with 7 or 8 charging stations.
Yeah, I think I passed. I was driving back from Kalispell and into Great Falls, and I think I passed one gas station that still had them. Just, you know, you could see the charging station things just kind of sitting on the side, I guess, waiting for something. Who knows what? But yeah, what a massive failure of this administration and Kamala Harris, instead of saying that she would break from Biden on this stuff, is out there acting like this stuff is a success. I've got to think that this will play into the battleground state campaigning as well, especially with J.D. Vance on the ticket appealing to working class Americans and, you know, auto manufacturing states like Michigan and elsewhere.
Well, you know, during the RNC, a union boss for the first time ever spoke in support of Donald Trump, and you know, we'll see where it leads. But automakers, or at least auto workers, have been courted heavily by the former president as he seeks re-election, spending a lot of time in Michigan, the Rust Belt states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and others. We'll see what happens. But they understand that. You know, a total EV adoption. You know, many of these EVs and batteries they're made down in southern states where they're not unionized. They may or may not see the writing on the wall. I guess we'll have to find out.
All right, Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks for being with us.
You bet.
All right. Well, you know, I mentioned it earlier, even Politico Playbook now is saying, you know, speaking of the failures of the Biden-Harris administration, how can Kamala Harris campaign as if she's some new exciting candidate when she has been a part of every single one of these failures over the past 3 years. And she is embracing these failures. She is not out there saying, you know, well, I would have done this different than Joe, or I would have done that different than Joe. She is embracing these failures. Politico Playbook just had this morning. A crucial 3 weeks. The sugar high is about to wear off. And after this discussion about electric vehicles, I wonder if, you know, if like Kamala Harris is like, you know, pouring sugar in the gas tank of the Democrat Party infrastructure right now. Boy, it sure looks good, but that ain't going to work out well in the long run. At least that's what I hope is happening. But why are they referring to a sugar high? Well, here's what happens when you consume sugar and carbs. Think of them as sugar. Your body gets this big burst of energy, and then, of course, you get a crash a little while later because that sugar rush doesn't sustain you for the long haul. That's why you need protein. That's why you need, like, Montana beef, for example, right? But the other thing, what that sugar rush does is your body starts to freak out because your body is getting that energy. Your body assumes that it's burning that energy. So your body goes into fat storage mode when you get that sugar high. That's why 200 calories of something sugary compared to 200 calories of something protein affects you differently. Anyway, that's one of the things that Doc Williams explained last week. Of course, he's with Billings Last Diet. If you've got weight to lose, get a hold of Billings Last Diet, billingslastdiet.com. They've got a remote option for you now as well.
Cam found out that group chats between different phones aren't private.
Or encrypted,
thank you. We only text in code.
Yes, which I created. I created a code.
Yes. Which can be a little annoying.
Wait, was that your attempt at the code?
You already forgot the code, didn't you?
I should have written it down.
The place to safely send messages between different devices. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
Fox News commentary.
BLM comes out against the anointing of Kamala Harris? I didn't have that on my bingo card. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next. The way Democrats pushed out their candidate Joe Biden with roughly 100 days before the general election is nothing short of a coup on his candidacy. But what's worse is the way they thrust Vice President Kamala Harris into the nominee position without a single primary vote or voter in her column. Interesting move from the party who claims to be dedicated to democracy, but it turns out I'm not the only one who feels that way. In a shocking plot twist, the Black Lives Matter organization issued a statement on the anointing of Kamala Harris as Democrat nominee, saying in part, quote, Democratic Party elite and billionaire donors are attempting to manipulate black voters by anointing Kamala Harris and an unknown vice president as the new Democratic ticket without a primary vote by the public. I never thought I would agree with BLM leaders on anything, but they hit the nail on the head. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show Tommy Lahren is Fearless at OutKick.com.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The press is having a field day digging up old interviews and podcasts featuring J.D. Vance, most notably his comment about, he now says this is sarcastic, childless cat ladies who don't have a stake in society. And now he's including childless media people, and he's gotten into a fight with Jennifer Aniston, never a good look. What a contrast with the generally gushing coverage of Kamala Harris. But she said some things in the past that they could be digging into. Only conservatives seem to be doing that, such as when she said that during the George Floyd riots, she set up a bail fund for some of the criminals who were arrested. Also, she's talked about she would ban fracking. Now she has an aide say she doesn't want to ban fracking. I think the press needs to look into that as well, but she hasn't taken any questions or done any interviews with the press. That was Joe Biden's problem, wasn't it, with your Media Minute?
That's 406-201-6263. 406-201-6263.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, right on, John's got a good idea here. He has got a great idea. You know, Kamala Harris and the Democrats, they don't want you eating Montana beef. They don't want you eating red meat. Maybe that's why John Tester keeps attacking Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy for his ranch. Maybe that's why they keep attacking his ranch, because he produces Montana beef. And, you know, Kamala Harris and the Democrats don't want you eating red meat. So maybe that's why liberal Senator John Tester keeps attacking the ranch there. So there's that angle. And remember, they don't want you eating beef. Their buddy Bill Gates wants you eating bugs. And then what was that story we just talked about? This was in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here. Grasshoppers posing a big threat here. You see where we're going. Grasshopper infestation. Parts of eastern Montana seeing 15-plus grasshoppers per square yard. Right on, John says, you know, we could set up a grasshopper capture combine, a combine that captures grasshoppers and sell them to the Democrats to eat. That's a brilliant idea. They want you eating bugs. Maybe they should go first. They could capture all these grasshoppers and they can eat bugs. All right, let's see. What was I going to get to next? Oh, yeah, we were talking about the sugar high that Kamala Harris's campaign is feeling right now. Tammy Bruce was on with Jason Chaffetz last night on Fox News, talking about just the fake news media coverage trying to reinvent Kamala Harris. I was going to play that one for you, but I'm seeing we are now short on time. So instead, let's go to President Donald J. Trump in Minnesota over the weekend with a massive rally. I mean, listen to this crowd roar in the background as he goes after crazy Kamala.
Every voter in Minnesota needs to know that when the violent mobs of anarchists and looters and Marxists came to burn down Minneapolis 4 years ago, remember me? I couldn't get your governor to act. He's supposed to call in the National Guard or the Army, and he didn't do it. I couldn't get your governor. So I sent in the National Guard to save Minneapolis while Kamala Harris sided with the arsonist and rioter and raised money to bail out the criminals, bail them all out of jail. Remember? I kept waiting for his call. Remember the guy from CNN, the reporter, so-called? I won't use his name. I don't want to embarrass. Shaved head. Nice-looking head, actually. So. And he goes, this is a friendly demonstration. And behind him, the entire city was burning. Remember, it was like a war zone. The entire city was burning down. And as he was speaking, somebody threw like a hand grenade at his feet and broke his knee. This is a friendly, friendly rally. No, you know what's a friendly rally? This is a friendly rally.
Man, listen to that crowd roar. Listen to that crowd roar. I think he then went on to talk about how small Kamala's rallies are, yet the same fake news media tries to make it sound like it's some big, massive turnout. But man, yeah, Kamala Harris, when she bailed out those rioters, she just kicked the people of Minneapolis right in the teeth. I'll tell you what, speaking of teeth, if you've been kicked in the teeth and you got some bad teeth, I'm not just talking about one tooth, two teeth. I'm talking about you got a whole set of teeth that you've been struggling with. Or maybe you've got bad dentures and they're loose-fitting dentures. They're annoying. They're irritating. You go out for a nice dinner, but you can't have a nice dinner because you're afraid your dentures are going to fall out. Well, I'll tell you what, you need to get a hold of Yellowstone Family Dental. They have world-class dentistry right here in Montana. People come from all over the U.S. for their services. Yellowstone Family Dental has the latest technology and the specialized training all in one place. They can deliver your new set of teeth in just one day. Check them out, MontanaDentalImplants.com, MontanaDentalImplants.com. World-class right here in Montana.